Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, June 28th, 2016. With me today, Dave Hamilton. How's it going, Dave?
It comes and it goes, but actually it's going great.
Yeah. Very awesome. Well. Glad to hear it. Yeah. Hey, also great, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Atlassian, and we'll talk about them soon. But before we get to that, Dave, we keep having all this talk on the interwebs about the new iPhone. Is it going to have a headphone jack? Is it not going to have a headphone jack? The latest rumors coming out, or well, I should call them reports, coming from places like Wall Street Journal, are saying no headphone jack on the new iPhone, which means now we're getting into the realm of everyone needing a DAC for their headphones. And I figured we should just kind of take a look at this, especially considering you've done a lot of research over the years into how all these pieces fit together.
Yeah, the one thing that's never, and I realize I'm jumping right into the middle of this, so my apologies, but I think it's the right place to start. The one thing that's never been entirely clear to me is, does the Lightning port itself have the ability to pass audio over pins on the port? Meaning, can the onboard DAC in the phone be used without needing a DAC in the headphones themselves? And I've done a lot of digging on this, and I can't seem to find a definitive answer, because that seems to be the biggest factor here. Is if the answer is no, and all that's being passed out the Lightning port is digital data, then the headphones need a DAC, which is a digital to analog converter, because our ears will always be analog devices. Mm-hmm. So do you know the answer to this question? Have we found anything more? I will apologize that I've been sort of heads down for the last 5 or 6 days as we migrated the whole back end of Mac Observer from one content management system to another. It's gone very, very well, but it's kept me a little bit in the dark.
I understand. And as long as we're going down that rabbit hole, of course it went very, very well, because we've had our top men on the project.
It's been a long time coming too. So yeah, it's so far so good.
I'm happy. And
me too.
And, yeah, that's what really counts.
Yeah.
Okay. So to answer your other question, no, I have not been able to find anything definitive about whether or not there is an onboard DAC in the new iPhone. Assuming this is the path Apple goes. iPhone.
We know there's an onboard DAC in the iPhone, because if it's going to play sound out the built-in speaker, then therefore there is one. The question is, can it be wired to go out the Lightning port? And I just, there's all kinds of speculation. I can find forum threads where people convince themselves it's one way and it sounds very correct. And then I can find another thread where people also very intelligently and correctly, you know, head themselves down another path. So that's one big thing here. Now, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, certainly, even if current iPhones aren't wired this way, I think future iPhones could be, because the Lightning port is, of course, Apple's port. So, but USB allows for this, by the way. You can do this, and the 30-pin connector allowed for it in that sense. So I'm going to assume that the Lightning connector could be wired to do this in a way that wouldn't break it with, existing Lightning peripherals or whatever. So if that's the case, then suddenly Lightning headphones really are no different than traditional headphones, because it's just a different shaped jack, but the functionality is doing the same thing. So if that's the case, then this conversation becomes a lot less dicey. But if that's not the case, then it's like, yeah, like you said, okay, well, now we need to build every set of headphones we have needs to be built almost like a set of Bluetooth headphones, where it's got a little bit of smarts in it and uses a little bit of power. Yeah, but no different than the power we'd use now with headphones, I would think. So
You know? Sure. Alternately, you get a dongle that has lightning on one end, a 3.5 millimeter jack on the other, and a DAC in between.
And a little converter right in the middle. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So this will be interesting. Will Apple do this? I don't know. I mean,
I go back and forth on this all the time. I mean, there are days where I am convinced no headphone jack on the next iPhone. Right. And then there are days where I just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
So I guess what it really comes down to is all we have to go on, even still, is speculation.
Well, of course. Yeah. And there's no shortage of speculation about all things about the new iPhone. What will it be called? Will it come in an all, black color? Well, find whatever you like.
Sure.
Tis the season, as we like to say.
So, yeah, that's right. And considering Apple's track record for iPhone releases, September is when we can expect a new model. So that gives us a few months for more speculation and potentially wailing and gnashing of teeth. And also for leaks.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And I feel like this Wall Street Journal piece is a controlled leak. I mean,
I have a feeling you're right.
Yeah. So, okay. So the headphone jack's gone. Fine. Fine.
Yeah, we survived ADB going away. We survived SCSI going away. We survived the floppy disk and the optical drive.
Yep.
And every single video port Apple has ever used.
Well, other than the current one.
Other than the current one, but...
So far.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much hand-wringing about this. I would say... It's more than the hand-wringing we saw when the floppy drive went away.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, now granted, there's a lot more people that use iPhones than used iMacs back then. So, at that point it was seen like by the industry that, well, Apple's this fringe company. They're not going to make it anyway. So, whatever they want to do with the floppy drive, that doesn't matter. Whereas this is like, wait a minute, that's the iPhone you're changing? Hold the phone. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. But in the meantime, we know there are companies that are making, or at least planning on making, DACs that will connect to the iPhone.
Yeah.
So people are planning ahead.
Yeah. And this could be a good thing. The audio files can get a different quality DAC than, people that don't have a care about, pristine audio quality and all that stuff can happen now.
That's a really good point.
It opens all these doors, and it's not going to be like you're not going to be able to plug in headphones or use headphones with your device. I think it's much ado about nothing, but I think Apple knows that people are going to freak out a little bit. So it's like, let's get this part out of the way now so that it doesn't taint the announcement of the device.
Right. Which totally makes sense.
Of course. Yeah, they're masters at PR. Of course.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
All right. Well, I have a feeling we'll be talking about this more at some point before the iPhone comes out.
Yeah. But technologically, either way it goes, technologically, I don't see this being a huge deal. The power requirements of a DAC don't change much, I don't think, whether it's an onboard DAC or which there is on the phone now. Or an outboard DAC, as long as the phone is built intelligently to not use the onboard one at the same time and, burn extra power. But Apple's usually pretty good at that stuff, so I'm just not that worried about it. It might add a little cost, but again, I don't know. I don't think it's all that awful.
You know, I don't think it's that awful either. And here's my dirty little secret. I typically don't listen to music on my iPhone ever. Mm.
I don't either. I use my iPhone in the car, where I either Bluetooth it or more regularly just plug it into USB in the car, because then I get it charged and all that good stuff. But when I was in San Francisco for WWDC, my apartment was, I rented an Airbnb place that was maybe, I don't know, it was like an extra two or three blocks away from the central hub of everything. And so I was doing a little bit more walking and even used the Muni, which is the San Francisco bus system, a little bit. So I lived like a city dweller. I didn't take a single Uber while I was there, which I didn't realize until I was getting on the airplane to go home. I was like, wait a minute, I've used like trains and buses the whole trip. And I took the train out to see a friend in Lafayette, which was about a 30-minute ride on the train. Mm-hmm. And I found that I was using my headphones all the time. So I think city dwellers, and you see this when you walk around in cities, you can tell who the tourists are and who the locals are. The locals are just in their own world with headphones. And I mean, not being rude about it, but just, you know, this is their daily life. And when they, you know, just like when, if we're driving somewhere to commute to do something, we might listen to music in our car. They're doing the same thing while they're walking. And I certainly felt right into that. So I can see where wired headphones make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. for people that are in that kind of mode. So
that totally makes sense, and it absolutely fits with the way my world used to work many years ago, and I carried an iPod with me, and I had my headphones in all the time. Yeah, hadn't even thought about it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we have more to discuss. So we need to talk about Atlassian.
Awesome. And
yeah. So if you're not familiar with Atlassian, well, you ought to be, because you listen to the show and you pay attention. Atlassian is a company that makes some really great software-based tools to make your life easier if you are working on collaborative projects. And that, so, you know, that can be like almost anything, but a good example would be, say, you are developing an application and you need to keep track of all the pieces of code you're working on. Bitbucket, that handles that for you. You need to stay in contact with all the people that are working on the project, and you need to be able to do this in real time. That would be HipChat. That's their messaging and chat tool. And then you have other content that you need to share that goes along with the project. You know, whatever those other assets would be, then that's Confluence. And then you need to keep track of who's working on what. You need to follow up on bugs, things like that. That's Jira. And all of these pieces just fit together seamlessly so that you have a great package for working on whatever it is that you need to do. And that's what Atlassian does. So go to their website and check them out. It's atlassian.com, atlassian.com. And my guess is that once you're there, you're going to find that there's something you've been using that you didn't know they made, or that you're going to find something that you need but didn't realize it was actually available for you. So thank you, Atlassian, for being our sponsor. All right, Dave.
Yeah.
So people kind of have a love-hate relationship with Facebook.
Yeah. And they love to hate it, but they don't hate it enough to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I mean, most. Some do, and I can respect that. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
I am in the former camp, though.
Yeah. You know, relationships are complicated, and I'm using Facebook, too, but I don't have their app on my iPhone anymore. And my reason for getting rid of it was because of the power consumption.
So that's better now.
I don't care.
No, okay, but I want our listeners might. So
oh, okay.
I figured I'd take a little thing. I've been obsessive about the Facebook battery usage, and it was one of the very few apps where quitting the app in the background actually did help with battery usage, because it would keep churning in the background and doing things. Now, and I noticed this maybe a couple of weeks ago, there was no fanfare made of it when Facebook did the update, but When I launched the app, even if I hadn't previously quit it, I noticed that it would go through its sort of initial launch process. And I cannot get Facebook to use more than a few minutes a day of extra background time, so without quitting it. So it seems to be shutting itself down quite well on its own now.
Oh, great.
Which is good. Yeah. Yeah. The new Sonos update, which does the whole lock screen thing, now is my number one offender in terms of background battery life. But, you know, hey, at least it's not two things. So,
okay. Yeah. So that helps. All right. Yep. Well, I may have a reason for you to consider ditching the Facebook app again.
Oh, no.
I know. So what's happened is some people have realized that Facebook is using location-based services to suggest possible new friends and contacts. And so what's happened is that people have been at events and maybe saw someone or they don't even need to see someone. They just happen to be at the event. Someone else is at the same event that they've never met before. The next day, that person that they don't know shows up as a friend suggestion in Facebook, and it was based on where you were and where they were.
And nothing else, huh?
And nothing else.
Are we sure it's and nothing else? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not here defending Facebook, but in fact, I might be indicating that they're even creepier than this might lead one to think. The example in one of the articles I read was about a guy being at and I don't know the name of the meeting, but it was a meeting for folks whose family members had committed suicide. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so this was sort of an anonymous type of thing, and that was where it got creepy, because it suggested that he might know this other person that was at the meeting, and they didn't exchange contact information or anything else. However, being family members of people who have committed suicide, they might also be part of some of the same Facebook groups or looking at the same types of articles on mm-hmm. Facebook. You know what I mean? There might be other indicators, which again, defends the, we were, you know, it's not just about we were in the same location, but oh boy, now, you know, if you thought Facebook had a profile of you, now look what they're doing with it. So I think Facebook was it Facebook that replied about this that said it just being in the same place as someone else wouldn't trigger this, but it is one of the factors we use when combined with others to decide, yeah, you probably know this person.
You know, I'm not feeling any less creepy about this.
No, my intent is to inform, not dispel any beliefs here. So, yeah, it is creepy. I mean, you know, if you think about, think about the person who's cheating on his or her spouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to avoid that. And I'm not, again, this is certainly not behavior that I personally participate in, but I don't, you know, people have, you said it before, relationships are complicated, right? So mm-hmm. whatever somebody else wants to do that doesn't impact me, I'm kind of okay with it, you know, in that regard. If as long as between that person and their spouse, it's, you know, whatever, it's whatever. But maybe you don't want to be identified as having been, you know, in the same location as the person that you're, you know, carrying on with illicitly or unofficially on the side. I can see where, you know, these are the kind of thoughts that should go through everyone's head when you're using technology these days. And Facebook is, yes, one of the companies that does this, but they're not the only one. You know, Google does a lot of this too. And a lot of it is us sharing our information willingly. You know, you check in on Facebook when you're somewhere, you post on Twitter, you post on Instagram and tag a location. Well, guess what, folks?
That's, you know, public.
Yeah. People can, I would say worse than Facebook building a profile about you is some third party that isn't any one of these service providers collecting your information from all of them and aggregating it together and building a profile. And if you don't think that's already happening, you know.
Yeah. If you don't think that's already happening, well, here's your wake up call. Yeah. It's time to get a little more depressed or paranoid.
Yeah. Well, just aware. You know, I've had friends that tell me, you know, I you're crazy because, you know, people would know when to rob your house because, you know, you post that you're on vacation and you do all this. And I'm aware of that. There's a couple things. Yes, my house could be robbed. And I'm sort of, I would prefer it not to be, but, you know, it happens. I would prefer it, actually, if you're going to rob my house, I'd prefer you to do it while I'm on vacation, when my family's not home. But that's actually, it's more important that my family stays safe than like my stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's all important to me at different levels. But doing what I do and what we do here, so much of my life is public. You know, I get on Matt Geekab every week and talk about my personal life. And sometimes, yes, that means me talking about, yeah, I'm going away on vacation and I'm doing this, and, or I just came back from vacation and here's some little tech tip I learned, or here's how I'm going to manage my SIM card. Right. I mean, it becomes part of the content, and it makes it, it has created the career that I have. Right.
Sure.
Because if I sanitized every bit of my personal life out of what I do publicly, it wouldn't be, I don't want to say it wouldn't be interesting to people, because people have varied interests, but it certainly wouldn't be as authentic to people. And I would be omitting stuff that's real life circumstances, which I feel people resonate with. So yes, I'm aware of this, and I've been aware of it probably longer than the majority of the people out there that use social media. But it is something that I had to just accept. And that's the trick. Yeah.
Yes. Well, part of the acceptance is deciding at what point are you no longer comfortable sharing publicly. And
that's right.
And that's a decision that you and I both have had to make, because even in the relatively smaller world of the Apple community, I mean, we are known. So we are public facing figures in that sense.
Yep, we are. But, you know, there are things that I don't tweet about or post about. You know, I mean, if my wife and I have a disagreement about something, I don't run to Facebook to post about that. And some people do. That's fine. If that's your way of processing
thing,
it's fine.
Well,
yeah, it's fine. I've just chosen not to do. I don't talk about my sex life on social media. I don't find it interesting when other people do. So, you know, it's not who I am. And that's the thing is, I know where my limits are. I suppose if I'm also hyper aware that my phone tracks me everywhere that I go. And, and you know, we use that as a family in a lot of ways. Often it's just in terms of convenience. Like, I'll be sitting at my desk and I'll think, oh, I want to see the kids when they get home. How far away are they? Mm-hmm. You know, I know they're going to be home at some point in the next half hour. Should I start this next little project? And so I'll just pull up, find my friends and see, oh, they're, you know, 20 minutes away. Perfect. You know, great. I can get this other thing done and still see them when they get home. Awesome. But you know that, The reverse of that is true too. My wife uses it all the time to see how, you know, when am I going to be home from a gig or, you know, whatever, just to, because it's easy. You don't have to pester somebody while they're traveling to see where they are. But it makes me hyper aware that not only can my family see where I am, but anybody that could potentially hack into that, or any app that I have running on my device, like Facebook, could potentially know that I was in a certain place at a certain time. And I've never been in a scenario where I feel like I need to turn off my phone, or at the very least turn off location services on my phone. But I'm aware of it, right? I suppose if I was in a scenario where I'm like, I don't want anyone to know that I was here, then I would just turn off my phone. You know,
airplane mode's an amazing tool.
Yeah. No, I will note something about airplane mode. I got onto a plane. They told us they closed the doors. This was just a week ago or 2 weeks ago. They closed the doors. I was texting my wife. I probably texted her for an extra, you know, 15 seconds after they closed the doors. And it was like, all right, fine. And I put it in airplane mode. 30 seconds later, I got a reply from my wife on my phone.
Huh.
So airplane mode eventually kicks in, I believe. But it takes some time. The icon appearing is not the end of the process. I believe it's the beginning.
That's fascinating.
Well, it makes sense, right? It's got to do all these things. It's got to wrap up its network connections in a friendly way. But if the airplane mode icon didn't appear the moment that you tapped airplane mode, you'd think something was wrong. You need that instant feedback as a user, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So, I mean, I knew what was happening, but it was a little, you know, it was a little surprising. And I took a screenshot of the thing where the text had just come in and the notifications window with the airplane mode. And, you know, people post. So, yes, I turned my phone right back on, of course.
Of course.
Tweeted the picture, you know, for better or for worse. But, you know, it's like wife mode trumps airplane mode every time.
So, yep.
Yeah.
Every time.
Every time.
Hey, we ran over because that was such a great discussion, but we still have to wrap up. So, Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, this is fun.
Yeah, this is loads of fun. Atlassian, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, atlassian.com, and check out all their great tools. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.